There were times when, very unfortunately, an official was involved with some kind of legal problem that was affecting their ability to serve. So the way our current law is, if this person is found guilty of a crime that, you know, is related to their office, that right now they can hang on to that office until the time they are sentenced, which can be months and months away. Whereas if voters approve this measure, if they vote yes for question three, in the future, if a person who's an elected official is in this position, at the time they're found guilty, they would be suspended from office. And we would have the ability to replace that person. If something should happen and it's proven later within the person's term that it's reversed, then they would get their seat back. But the important thing is that the voters get someone to represent them who can be effective, not someone whose primary goal is staying out of trouble with the court system for the next few months.
Now, what happens to an official who pleads guilty or enters a plea agreement? For example, former Baltimore Mayor Sheila Dixon did that even after one of her trials. She had been convicted. She entered a plea agreement on both and was able to stay in office for a month before. What would happen
current,
there?
Current law allows the person to stay until the time that they are sentenced. That's the problem. Until you're sentenced, you can still be in office. If this measure is approved by the voters, though, at the time you're found guilty or if you plead guilty, then you would lose your office at that time. You would, at a minimum, be suspended from office at that time and no longer be paid for that position, and we'd be able to go forward with replacing that person.
Would this deal with an official who could perhaps, once they complete their sentence, run again? I mean, in the case, again, of Sheila Dixon, she is eligible to run for office again in 2015 once she completes her probation, the community service, and the rest of the terms of her sentence. Does question three address that issue?
This bill does not address that. This really sticks timing of when an elected official loses their office. It doesn't relate at all to if that person runs again. Again, it's up to the voters. If the voters decide to vote someone back into office, we can think of cases in the Washington area where that has occurred, then you have to respect the will of the voters. But for the time that that person has been found guilty or has pled guilty, it seems that that is the appropriate time for the person to no longer have that position rather than being strung out for months waiting for sentencing.
If question three is approved, could it be applied to current cases? And I'm specifically referring to the case of Delegate Tiffany Alston, who was convicted last week in a case in Anne Arundel County and now faces suspension from office. Would this also apply to her case if this ultimately is approved?
Actually, she's been suspended from office already because what happened recently is she was sentenced. So at the time she was sentenced, she was suspended from office. If this had already been in effect, it would have affected her back in June, I believe it was, when she was originally found guilty.
If you mentioned before that if a elected official is later, the conviction is later overturned on appeal, they automatically get their seat back. What happens
if it's within their term?
Within their term. If that happens within their term, what happens to the person who is either elected in a special election or has been, you know, picked on an interim basis to fill out that term? Does that person have to step aside?
Yes.
Is this fair in your mind to both not only just the public but also to the elected official who does, after all, have some rights?
I believe that the elected official does have rights. I'm an elected official. I'd like to feel that I still have rights. But at the same time, I like to think that the people I represent have more rights to effective leadership than I do have rights to a particular office.
Question three is on the ballot. One other thing I wanted to ask, the fact that this question hasn't received a lot of attention, you know, obviously you've seen the ads. You can't turn seeing the ads on gambling, marriage equality. That question has gotten a lot of attention. The Dream Act, even congressional redistricting.
Right.
Does it bother you this one doesn't get hasn't gotten as much attention as it perhaps should?
No, it doesn't bother me because I believe that it stands for itself, it speaks for itself, and I don't think you need a lot of fancy ads to educate voters on the need for this passing. So I think without any of us putting out $1 to promote it, I can't believe anybody's going to vote against it. In fact, if I could only find the name of the person who would vote against this, I would really want to have a word with them and find out why. It's not easy to get overwhelming support to have a bill sponsored in the House and the Senate, but we had more than enough sponsors on both sides, House and Senate side, for this bill to be put in. There was no opposition, and, you know, I can't believe that the people who represent the voters of the state of Maryland are going to be representing something vastly different than what the voters are going to say. So I feel pretty confident that the voters can read. And when they read it, even if they haven't heard about it until the moment they step into the voting booth, they can't possibly vote against it.